Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay.
Puffcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Puffcast.
Well, it's the Puffcast.
The Puffcast.
This is the fabulous Adam Richard, the outrageous Scott Brennan.
Outrageous.
And the punctual Toby Sullivan.
Sorry, I'm late.
What was that?
I don't know. That was sort of a... It was sort of a Yogi Bear meets Mr. Humphries.
Oh, speaking of Yogi Bear, what is the point of hiring Dan Aykroyd and Justin Timberlake to do impressions of the people that used to do the voices from Yogi Bear for that film?
Just because they're them, I guess. I don't know.
But what?
Are they any good? Have you seen it?
No, why would I see that piece of shit?
I don't know.
Steaming pile of CGI.
Justin Timberlake is doing the voice of Yogi Bear.
Of Boo Boo. And Dan Aykroyd is the voice of Yogi Bear. But it's just doing an impression of the original voices from the cartoon.
Did they lose a fucking bet?
I don't know.
What the fuck is going
on? Have they jumped the shark? Is that it? Is it all over for them now?
Oh, but what, Justin Timberlake's respectable acting career is now in tatters after the Yogi Bear thing.
He was in The Social Network.
Was he?
Yeah.
He played a poke. Why don't we have a movie? If you can make a movie where Justin Timberlake pretends to be Boo Boo, I make very few claims about this Puffcast, apart from excess consumption may have a diuretic effect. Right? But I will say this, Justin, if you're listening, we are more entertaining. This podcast, which is really saying something about Boo Boo, we are more entertaining than watching you pretend to be Boo Boo. Right? Just to put that in context, we are less entertaining than gingivitis. Right? And you are below both of us put together. How can we not have a movie?
I'm just imagining an animated talking puffy movie.
It'd be great. It'd be just like Muppet Babies with more ribbing. Or do you know what cartoon I used to really like? They used to have like the cartoon Beatles. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be like that. It'd be like cartoon talking poofy.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds or something.
It'd be like Help and be like, you know, we're running away from all the fans and Adam and I are running and you're back there sucking off the mob.
Yay.
Trying to distract them. All of these things are more entertaining than Justin Timberlake pretending to be Boo Boo. Absolute bullshit, Hollywood. I'm offended.
But it was number one at the box office for like weeks.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, I despair.
And the guy that was in Ed, who I used to love, was in it, and it was embarrassing. It's an embarrassing.
Justin Timberlake as
Boo Boo. Boo-Boo. Why?
That's got to go to the top of his CV,
really.
Who
cares that it's him?
Jesus.
Who cares?
Who cares? Who cares?
Indeed.
Although I am excited about him playing a poke. Let's sell something.
Yeah. Summer's here and it's time to fight the flab with the brand new fitness craze that's sweeping the inner suburbs. It's Gayrobics.
Forget faddish dance classes, expensive exercise equipment and nutritiously suspect diets. The only way to stay slim this summer is to live like a gay.
Backstabbing. It's great for triceps, biceps and simmering resentment.
Download Glee. Feel the burn as you do the vacuuming extra quickly to the tunes of the Britney episode.
Go to a gay bar. With beer that costs this much, who can afford fattening luxuries like boiled rice?
Visit a sauna. 10,000 steps a day is a snap when you're desperately chasing the one decent bit of trade around a grotty maze for 6 hours.
Become estranged from your family. No more fattening family dinners when Christmas lunch is a bowl of cheesels with the other barflies at DT's.
Gayrobics. If there was ever a fitness regime guaranteed to bring you buns of steel, this is it. And clutch.
And grasp. And clutch. And grasp.
Oh, that's our sponsor.
Wow. I'm still
pay the bills.
Still reeling from that rant, Toby Sullivan.
I just think, there are so many people who don't have movies and they give one to Justin Timberlake to pretend to be Boo Boo. you know what? I am going to get like my ass lips to lip sync to the entire B-side of Dark Side of the Moon. That is a better movie. That deserves a movie before Justin Timberlake.
Wow.
Me farting into a bottle deserves a movie before. This summer, one man will fart into a bottle. He's not afraid, or is he? Fucking blow up a car, credits, done. Yeah. Where's my Oscar?
That's all you need. That's all.
Where's my Oscar?
Blow up a car, credits.
I could do this. I could just give me a movie studio.
Oh my God.
Green light it. Green light it.
Oh my God. If you want to see some of Toby's sublime acting, we'll see if we can get some.
Yeah.
Website at talkingmovie.com.au. And you can decide if you should be.
You
in
can
a movie.
Decide.
Aren't you, there, you know, there are Hollywood producers listening going, my God, fart in a bottle.
Of course. Blow up the movie and credits. Yeah, oh.
Except they'll have a meeting, right? And the producer will go, I really like it. I really love it. I love fart in a bottle. I think it's really hot. Yeah. Bottle's really hot. It's really now. It's really time. Just got a few changes. I think you should fart in a jar.
Yeah.
I think you should fart. I think you should vomit. I think you should vomit in a jar.
I'm just imagining the headline, you know, Toby's ass lips bidding war.
No, I can't wait for the meeting where Toby is sitting there just wanting to stab someone in the face because he hears the phrase, now look, Toby, you know, we love you. We think you're great. We think you're a fantastic performer. But Justin Timberlake is very interested in this role.
We want him.
What?
We want Justin Timberlake to play your ass lips. Okay?
He's been circling this project for some time.
And then I get obsessed. Yes. I launch a lawsuit.
Oh,
I finally get the rights back. And in certain selected fringe cinemas in Europe, I release the director's cut of Toby Farts into a Bottle.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I think we've run out of time for the Gay to Z. Thankfully, we're up to the letter U.
Which is for?
Urethra.
Of
course. Of course it is.
Which, yes. Judging by your temperament, Toby, do you have an infection?
Does it burn?
I have a weeping urethra of my soul.
Oh, wow.
Someone has stuck a cotton ball down my...
Oh, no, do you know what I found out?
Yeah.
They no longer need to do that swab test anymore.
No, they don't do it anymore.
For anything.
For anything.
It's all just piss in a cup.
It's all
so us. We were the last bastions of stick in your dick.
We were the last generation.
It was not pleasant.
It was not.
Either.
And you know, it has a name. The thing they stick down the eye of your penis has a name.
Yeah, is it?
It's called a sound.
Oh, I thought it was like Gary or something.
it's called Dennis.
Dennis.
Dennis the dick stick.
No, it's called a sound. The instrument they used
to called a sound.
Shove down the eye of your cock to scrape out the.
Is that because it causes a big sound?
I don't know, but it's a sexual
fetish.
Well,
they're sounding. Yes, okay. Yes. Guys put a metal rod down.
That's
the
called
eye
the sound.
Of their
yeah,
penis. Anyone tried it?
No.
Anyone
well,
done
only
it?
For a test.
Oh, right,
I was,
yes.
You know, 20, and I had a scabby penis.
There is no way I would ever do that. There is no way I would ever get into sounding, unless the alternative was watching Justin Timberlake play fucking Boo Boo in a movie.
Which would be more painful for you?
I would take the sound every time. I'd put a fucking broom handle down there.
Oh, look, you'd take an emery board.
I used to work with a guy who would put an HB pencil down there.
Really?
At work.
What?
Like as an entertainment for the... we were working behind a bar and he, you know, occasionally...
Miss Jane, it's the wrong way up.
Wow.
Stick upside a pencil down there and, yeah.
Wow. How far down could he get it?
All the way.
Wow. What?
All the way.
What? He needs to see a doctor.
Oh, man.
How did he piss? It must have come out like a... Like
a fire hose
in a tampon commercial.
Yeah.
Like fucking backdraft or something.
He doesn't urinate. He projectile vomits from his penis.
That is like, that would cause the Brisbane floods. Imagine. Did he have a big, like if that's the urethra.
The aperture.
Did he have a big dick? Like...
it was, you know, but it was always flaccid. He always did it when it was flaccid. Like it was weird.
Wow.
Man, oh man.
And did he just slip it straight in, or was it? Did it take him a little while to?
It just kind of went in.
Wow.
Oh, I feel a bit sick.
Was weird.
Hey, whatever gets you through, man.
But the urethra.
Yeah, no, I draw the line at sticking your pencil down. I'm so
The urethra doesn't control the flow, though. That's upstairs.
Yeah, but just the sheer volume. Like, yeah. It's like NBN. It's like broadband. It's like fiber.
Yeah.
You know, just,
yeah. You can fit more kilobytes of wee into, hang on, no, there's...
Yeah. Okay. Ironically, with the NBN, you can download porn of someone pissing enormously through their pencil-sized
urethra.
It's weird.
Okay, we're talking ourselves into circles now.
Yeah, let's move on to something else.
Okay.
So you like show tunes. Doesn't mean you're gay. It just means you're awful.
Poofcast. All right, well, I've received a number of complaints through talkingpoofy.com.au with people who agree that things do get a bit out of hand at the gay nightclubs.
Yes.
That the prices for beverages are ridiculously high.
A lot of issues. And also, you know, who they let in is kind of, you know, a bit of an issue as well.
The
and
door policies. Just all the policies really involved with running a gay venue. So
pretty much.
We thought we would ring... well, I guess you would call him the gay Kerry Packer.
Oh, right.
He is the... He owns, I think, 3 gay bars.
Ah, here in Melbourne?
No, throughout Australia.
Throughout Australia, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, great.
He's a multi-city tyrant. Businessman.
Yes.
Please welcome on the line Grunty McFuckring. How's it going?
What the fuck do you faggots want?
Oh.
I'm trying to run a fucking venue here. This vodka won't water itself down, so make it quick, bitches.
I'm Grunty. Wow.
Well, thanks for joining us, Grunty.
Thanks for joining us,
fuck
Grunty.
You very much too, shitbirds. Let's get to it.
Now, we've had some complaints from some of your patrons who are also happen to be our listeners.
Yes.
Patrons? Patrons? Are you dignifying those fucking pansy, dirty pieces of shit patrons? Fucking tell you what, mate, Qantas has got fucking patrons. I've got dickheads with $35 in their wallet. That's what I've fucking got.
Well, they have complained about the prices at your venue.
Ah, fuck 'em. I'm not running fucking Oxfam. Look at the fucking doorway. Does it say orphan children can get fed in here? No, I don't think it fucking does. I think it says we've got pots of beer and chipboard cubicles with sluts face down in them. That's what I think the fuck it says. You dickwad's too busy sucking cock to learn to read at primary school.
What about, like, you know, charging to, like, you charge a lot to even get into a lot of these clubs?
Yeah, but I fucking deliver the entertainment inside. You pay a lot of money, but you get what you pay for. You go to a gay bar with no cover charge. Are there tired old Asian dancing boys on the bar? No, I don't fucking think there are. What you dickwads don't understand is that I've got expenses. I've got to buy toilet paper. I've got to sweep out the upstairs fuck rooms twice a year, whether they need it or not. Greed, sheer naked greed. Sheer naked greed won't pay for itself, will it? What the fuck economics course did you take? Fucking hell.
What, like, how much does it actually cost?
$35.
Jesus.
To get into
Christ.
One of your venues.
That's not to get in, that's the fucking cloakroom. Oh. To get in costs a car. And a late model, not one of your clapped out 180Bs. I want something European.
And why is it that you only seem to have alcohol that brands that no one's ever heard of?
Because it's diluted diesel fuel. That's fucking why. Because I've been down at the local Caltex with a jerry can, couple of slices of lemon. None of those cocksuckers know the fucking difference.
Now, look, I've got something I'd like to put to you. I remember...
Oh, well, fucking hurry up. I'm apricot deep in a busboy restocking the fridge right now. So I have all day. Come on, fucking Keith, or whatever your fucking name is. Put the old shit at the front. Jesus Christ. Fuck, shit for brain.
I remember there was a time when it was free to get into all of your venues because the drinks prices were so expensive that that's where you recoup the money for the shows Jews and the other...
Yeah, well, that was a long time ago. That's when I was using fuckwitchery as a business model. But thank Christ I've grown up fucking 10 inches and now I know what the fuck I'm about.
But you never reduced the prices of drinks when you started charging at the door.
Oh, did I forget to do that? Oh, I'm so sad. Oh, quick, someone put me on some fucking Prozac to cheer me up. Oh, hang on, I don't have a prescription. Perhaps I can buy some cocaine with my millions of fucking bucks full of cash. I'm a small businessman. You fucking dick lickers should be thanking me. I'm giving you a voice in the community. I fucking run a sausage sizzle out the front twice a year. What the fuck else do you want from me? Fucking bullshit Oliver Twist.
Now, can we just talk very briefly about your door policy and who you will and won't let into your venues?
I'll let anyone in who's stupid enough or desperate and lonely enough to think they can drink their way to fucking happiness. I'm the Statue of fucking Liberty. Give me your poor, tired, huddling masses and I will give them watered-down Jager bombs until they spew in the gutter. What the fuck are you referring to? You're talking about this chick thing.
Not letting women into the venue a lot of the time. Why is that?
Because I fucking hate them. In short.
Okay, great. Well, thanks
for all of them, or
just the poor ones.
You okay, Grunty? You sound a bit choked up.
Yeah.
You know, sorry. I just said this is time I could be spent selling bullshit to cockwads, and it makes me feel sad when I think of all the money I'm not making.
Well, maybe we should let you know. Thanks for joining. Let you go. Thank you for joining us, Grunty McFuckring.
Yeah, if you assholes ever call me again, I'll have you fucking killed.
And good luck with your run for the state.
Oh, fuck off!
Hope you're getting to council.
Yeah, I'm the mayor of Fuck You Town.
Thank you, Grunty. Oh, he hung up.
Cece feels things deeply. Cece is a deeply feeling person.
Poofcast. Right, time for the Carrie Bickmore Experience as we delve deep into the sexual world of our sexpert, Mr. Colin Batruni from the Victorian AIDS Council. How are you going, Colin?
I'm good. Hi, everyone. You'll never guess where I am today.
Where are you? You sound like you're in a toilet or something.
Have you guys heard of the Melbourne Aquarium?
Yes.
Yeah. So am I. I'm not actually there. I'm at a bakehouse on Carlisle Street.
You're at a what?
A bakehouse on Carlisle
Street. Right, okay.
But you're pretending to be at the aquarium.
This is so boring. It's so dull. They just swim around. They've got attitude.
They do. They do. Especially the tropical ones. They think their shit doesn't stink.
Oh, yeah. So up themselves.
Now, we were going to talk about... before we talk about drugs and sex, can we go the long way around? Can I ask you poofy people?
Yeah.
Any of you seen The Black Swan?
No. No, I haven't seen it.
Not in writing, no.
Well, The Black Swan is basically... Well, I guess it's a very caution... It's a cautionary tale about drugs and sex because in the film, Natalie Portman is told to get in touch with her Black Swan by her director. So she goes out on the town with Mila Kunis, who I'd never actually heard of before. But
she was in that 70s show and she does the voice of Meg on The Family Guy.
Oh. She's
very good.
Yeah, I like it.
What's her name?
Mila Kunis.
Sounds like something Colin could be ordering in the bakehouse. Yeah, I made fun of a foreigner's name. Yeah.
Well, Mila takes Natalie Portman, little Natalie Portman, who I only really sort of remember from the Star Wars films with, bagels on the side of her head saying...
Yeah.
Anyway, so she goes to this bar with Mila, and Mila spikes her drink with drugs. You know it. Mila is making, she just basically kind of chews Natalie out.
Chews her out.
Right. Like shouts at her or...
Or goes the growl.
she goes the growl.
Right.
One growl. Before, I mean, there is a little bit of foreplay. They're in a cab and she fingers her.
I love fingering.
I love fingering in a cab. Like, rah, 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 rah. Next left. Rah, 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 rah. Follow the tram trap. Second knuckle.
That's one way to make sure the cab driver won't take any money from you.
Yeah.
I sort of thought, well, that's exactly like the experience of, I think we've all sort of had that experience of, I don't take drugs.
No. But,
I've had my drink spiked. That's also quite a common occurrence, I'm given to believe.
Mm.
And, you know, you're standing there having a drink with somebody at a bar and the next thing you know, it's the next day and you're trussed up like a Steggles chicken.
With any luck.
I know a lot of people who've had their drink spiked and have been people who take drugs recreationally and have been actually quite affronted by the experience because they're like, you know what, when I take something, I know what the experience is going to be. Mm. I kind of know how much control I'm going to have or not have. But being all of a sudden on drugs that you don't know what they are or why.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a serious problem. I mean, there have been some terrible kind of horror stories, but I think that if people are going to kind of take drugs while they're out, which we're not recommending.
No, we don't condone
it. Are there any statistics on spiking, though? Is it really a thing, or is it, you know, like knife crime? Is it a
bit Today Tonight beat up kind of thing?
Is there any actual research, do you know, Colin?
No, there's no research on spiking.
That's a good question. That's not a stupid question.
How dare you mock?
we want our paper on spiking delivered by next week, please.
Please, Colin.
I was doing my best year 12 clear thinking exercises.
That was actually, for you, that was quite an intelligent question, Toby.
My one for the year.
I'm sad to say there is no kind of spiking research, although I think, you know, Black Swan is really breaking new ground all over the So, you know, you trussed up like a Steggles chicken, and then they ask you if you want a juice, and then you say, well, can I just adjust the gag because I can't actually talk? I actually think that if you're going to take drugs and have sex, then you need to kind of be prepared with all sorts of little bits and pieces just to make sure that, well, water for a start.
Yes.
You've got to keep hydrated, and you've got to keep condoms and water-based lube with you and all that kind of stuff. And, there are some horror stories, and not just being trussed up and gagged and stuff. You can wake up next to someone talking excitedly about the plot of the first series of Inspector Rex.
I've been Rex-raped!
My advice to those people who do want to take drugs is to proceed with caution.
Mm.
Good time. By all means, have a good time. I'm not begrudging anybody that. Because we don't want to sound like, you know, nana poofies. But you do have to be careful. I mean, I'm going to candidly ask I'm going to put my poofy sort of confrères, that's French, and ask you if you've ever taken anyone home or gone home with somebody when you were on drugs or maybe not even got home.
I've never taken drugs, but I've been smashed into the next dimension. I've been blind.
Well, alcohol is a drug.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I made it out alive. I didn't have Inspector X, but it does. Yeah,
it impairs your decision making abilities.
Yes, it does.
And you know the other thing, and I know I'm just speaking hypothetically and anecdotally here, Colin, not from experience, but people I know.
Hypothetical.
It's anecdotally hypothetical. People I know who I may have conversations with in the mirror think that I'm going to take these kind of drugs because, you know, they might keep me up a bit longer, I can drink more, or these are the kind of drugs that make me get a bit cuddly and dance a lot. And you always think, oh, I know what the experience is like. I know what it's going to be like. I'm not going to...
And you correct for it.
Yeah, and I'm not...
You know what's coming.
I'm going to be okay. But, you know, it's not until 2 days later you go, would I really have done all of that with those people at that particular sauna if I wasn't off my face?
Yeah.
But also, by the same token, like, I, you know, I don't like having sex stone cold sober. Like the sex act
I haven't
is absolutely
had sex
fucking ridiculous.
Stone cold sober in years. Let's be honest.
you haven't gone to the shop stone cold.
No,
sober.
This is true.
But, like, the whole process is so fucking ridiculous in the first place. If you didn't have a tiny little glass or something to warm you up, you would just collapse in fits of laughter or disgust. Like, you want me to what? Where? Ah! Glug, 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 glug. Yeah, come on!
Is that why you've got that cask of wine by your bed, Toby?
I think that people like Toby should not be disinhibited.
Wise words from Colin Vitruni.
Circumstances.
But I think it is one of those things. It's not like you. It's not like there's a great big sign flashing when you are off your face that says, this is a bad decision. Like, like that doesn't ever enter your consciousness.
Although, sometimes it, like, you know, a friend of a friend of mine.
I love euphemistic talking.
It's had a bit of a bad patch a few years ago where things kind of got little bit.
I spent some time with that friend of yours in Sydney. A friend of mine spent some time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yours in Sydney.
Things got a little bit out of control and some really stupid decisions were made under the influences of lot of things.
At the time, did you think they were bad decisions or was that in hindsight?
No, there were a couple of moments where this friend was completely off his head on God knows what, but still managed to go, oh, hang on a minute. No. You're ugly. Or hang on a minute. No, you need to put a condom on that. There are moments of clarity, I think.
Yeah.
Mr. Brennan said candidly, we're all very concerned about Scotty. He's just not himself.
I was talking about somebody else, you see. So that's probably why.
But also, there've been other times when I've been drunk and I've done things that I wouldn't have done when I was sober, and have gone, oh, well, like fucking kissing a boy in the first place, you know.
Yes.
Then you go, oh, actually, that worked out just fine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's. I think you've got to have a little
bit. But I think also if you are, being responsible about it, and as we said before, you know what journey you're going to go on with this particular.
Then
I think you're more likely to be able to make responsible decisions.
Yes, if you're aware that you're drunk and the idea occurs to you to fuck that football team on the bonnet of the car.
Oh, how many times has that happened?
Oh, God.
Again, then you can say, oh, that's probably just the booze talking.
The other advice I would give to those people listening to us, although not to any...
Both of them.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any friends, is to make sure that your friends know what's up with you. Because if you do take too much of anything and something bad happens, it's always a good idea to say, to have like a little know-it-all friend who's a big mouth standing next to the paramedic saying, oh, yes, and then she took this and then she took that. I told her not to. And
you need a fag hag is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just I think, err on the side of common sense.
Oh,
what is going on down there, Colin?
Oh, look, I can't believe how rude people are down in Carlisle Street. Have you ever been down here? Horrible.
Was it one of those crazy Russian grandmothers pushing you out of the way?
It's being rude to me. I don't know. I was actually, this is a boring digression, but I was actually in London. Yeah, because I've gone away overseas.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, I bumped into you at the airport once in, where were we, Hong Kong?
Somewhere like that. Oh, I'm back from this very trip.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
I went up to this woman outside the National Gallery in London, and I was a bit kind of dazed and a bit jet-lagged, and I said to her, oh, excuse me, and I had my guidebook in my hand, and I said to her, excuse me, is this the National Portrait Gallery? And this is exactly what happened. Is this the National Portrait Gallery? And she said, no. Then she said, would you like to know where the National Portrait Gallery is?
Oh, God.
And I said, well, gosh, that'd be helpful. I mean, that's the kind of rudeness I've been putting up with buying bread here today.
Oh, dear, Colin Vitruni.
Danish, would you like a cherry jet Danish?
I love the way that the British, when they say excuse me, It's actually a euphemism for get the fuck out of my way.
They are the most passive-aggressive people on earth.
Oh, and when you get served in a shop, they say thank you, but it's like they're saying fuck you.
Yeah.
It's like fuck you very much.
There's kind of sarcasm in there. Oh, thank you.
The whole nation.
I wish they were passively stupid, but there's nothing passive about their stupid.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, puppies.
All right. Well, always on topic, Colin Bertruni. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Colin. I have to rush. I have to take a dose of ketamine and then just lie splayed out on the footpath.
Yeah. I've got to go and drink.
My ankles.
I've got to go drink my beer that I've left at the tram stop.
I've got to get back on my amyl drip.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone spiked my drink with desperation at the pier last night.
I thought that was the name of your aftershave, Toby.
Thank you so much, Colin.
Bye.
Bye.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Puffcast. Who Laps, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, darling. How are you?
Good. Now, you've been to... Is it true that you've been to every single Mardi Gras parade?
Not every single one. I was clearly too young to go to some of them. And that's an absolute bloody... Yes, I've been to every single one, yes. Yes.
And how do you think it's changed over time?
Oh, more bums.
Right.
More bums?
Yeah, more bums. Well, it's obviously got bigger and it's got more fun.
More
fun? You know, I'd say, oh, no, it's great. There's so many drugs around. It's like the Tour de France around there. It's fantastic.
How do you think the Mardi Gras compares to other festivals in other cities, other gay festivals in other cities?
There are other gay festivals in other cities.
Yeah, there's London Pride.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I guess so. Look, yes. I think it compares quite favourably. I love Mardi Gras. I'm doing Mardi Gras this year.
Yeah,
yeah, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm going to be in the parade. I'm going to be afloat.
Oh, you're actually going to be afloat.
Yeah, I'm going to be afloat. It's a very big dress, and there'll be a few dancing boys sort of dancing on there, and I'm just going to work my way down the road...
Oxford Street.
Down Oxford Street. Just sucking people off on the way through.
It's going to be like a little pixie photo booth, but with a happy ending.
Well, kind of an oral pixie photo booth, yeah.
Oral pixie. Oral pixie.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be afloat, does that mean someone has to drive you?
Oh, with any luck. Oh, sweetheart. You just walk straight into that one.
Do you do a special show for Mardi Gras, or it's the same old shit you always do?
Oh, same old shit I always do, but I just charge more. And
you should meet Grunty McFuckery.
I probably should. Yes, he sounds interesting. No, I catch up. I'm just on the Bluetooth on stage. They just play a track. They flash a few lights. I'm on stage on the Bluetooth talking to old friends and trying to hook up on Grindr.
Now, Prue, you know at the party, they'll often have, big special international guests.
Yeah.
You know, like big stars and stuff.
Yeah.
And I understand one year you participated in one of those shows. You were in the chorus line, as it were.
Yes, but I wasn't supposed to be.
Oh.
Yeah, I crashed it. I crashed Olivia Newton-John, to be honest, because I love her.
Yes.
Oh, I do. You know, up close, she looks like an Armani handbag.
And what happened? Was there an unfortunate Xanadu roller skating related?
Oh, yes, it was an unfortunate Xanadu roller skating. Well, I just ran on stage and joined the chorus line in my roller skates. I went flying through. I ran over for Olivia Newton-John's foot.
Oh, no.
But thank God she's inflatable. So just straight over. She's bounced straight back. It was great.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That was a primo year. Everyone still talks about that.
Yeah, it was a great year.
Does anyone ever remember actually what happens at those parties?
No.
Or is it just because there's three journos there reporting on it? The next day they go, yeah, I fully saw Danny Minogue.
Oh, yeah.
I think we just know because Luke Dennehy's there with Twitter just going,
Trust me, love, it's probably best we don't remember.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. So are you going to wear a special outfit to the party this year?
Oh, yes. I'm going to wear leopard print sequins.
What? How does that even work?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
I sure would
yes,
be.
Leopard print made out of sequins, yeah.
Yes, leopard print sequins. And hot pants.
Yes,
and hot pants.
And roller skates.
Again with the roller skates.
Yes, and roller blades.
Oh, right.
So what is this? Is like, you know, your 25th anniversary or something?
You're doing yeah, I'm trying to combine month. Everything. I'm just a big melting pot of everything I've done after the last 25 years.
Are you trying to combine every camp thing that has ever happened in 25 years of history?
Well, I'm combining all of my costumes and everything that I've worn over the last 25 years, and hopefully by the end of the night I will have caught all of the STIs that I've had over the last 25 years.
So do you hook up a lot at Mardi Gras?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yes, it's so easy.
How?
Oh, how not? God, you can just walk down the street.
Is that because of all the straight men that are there with their family?
Yes, you just have to, just ask for some help. Oh, excuse me, can you come and help me get into my car? Oh, sure, just get them away from the kids. That's how easy it is.
You get some sweet DILF action.
Yes, Oh, yes, I tell you. Oh, they don't call me prolapse for nothing, sweetheart. Oh, by the end of that weekend, I need a bloody wheelbarrow to carry it home.
I imagine, Prue, there's a lot of tourism around Mardi Gras. I imagine you've made friends from all over the world over the years at Mardi Gras.
Yes, I have made friends from all over the world. I like to call myself the United Colours of Benetton. Because by the end of that week, I am covered in DNA from around the globe.
I thought that was a reference to one size fitting all. And I do mean all.
Well,
I do mean
that.
All.
There's that. Oh, it's, oh God. You should, oh, I am covered in DNA. That's very good for your skin, though. My face and my lower back just is like a baby's bottom by the end of that weekend.
Oh, is that what it was? I thought it was scar tissue.
No. Well, it looks like scar tissue before you peel it off.
Oh, Prue, you've got a very busy month ahead.
I do. I've been in training.
Oh,
yes. I'm up to the butternut pumpkin stage now.
Oh, my God. I am.
Stop it. You're making me hungry.
Oh, sorry, love.
I am still scarred from face and lower back.
You and about 400 foreigners, sweetheart.
So what about your other girlfriends, like Dame Judi Dench's and...
bottom fucker.
Yeah, look, we actually go our separate ways at Mardi Gras.
Really?
I don't tend to hang around with them because there's too much competition. We've got to spread ourselves a bit thin.
Really?
Yes. We try to work our way through everyone. We try to be democratic about the whole thing. And we're all hanging out in one corner, then it just makes it a little more difficult, doesn't it?
I guess it does, darling.
Yes.
Oh, well, bless you.
Well, bless you too, Lord. Oh, gosh, you've gone all religious on me, haven't you? I'm down on my knees.
I look forward to seeing you sitting in some dodgy cafe at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, yes.
On Mardi Gras Sunday.
Yes, I won't have slept since February.
Thank you once again.
See you at the Gras.
See you, love. Mwah, mwah.
Sausages, can you see my lovely sausages?
Poofcast. All right, it is time for Would Ya?
Would Ya?
Would Ya?
Where we agree we probably would have sex with whoever we bring up. But would you tell anyone?
Mm.
And how would you have sex? And how would it go? Especially seeing as, we always kind of choose people who are vaguely attractive.
But not a no-brainer.
We need to be able to discuss them.
Well, this week, this was a suggestion, actually, that Wes Snelling came up with.
Mm.
Mikey Robbins.
Would you Mikey Robbins?
From the Good News Week.
Would you Mikey Robbins?
I mean, he's tons of fun.
Yeah.
I would suck him off, but that's as much as you're getting, Mikey.
Right. That's head job it. Only.
Yeah. Under the desk during a Good News Week taping. So those things go for hours. You have to pass the time somehow.
I would give him a hand job.
Yeah, right.
I think just
wristy for the fat man.
Yeah, wristy for the fat man. Just to kind of dip my toe into that large pool. I'm obsessed with what people's genitalia are like. I think about it all the time. If just on the tram, I watch TV, I go, I wonder what your genitals look like.
Saying genitals when he's on.
Well, because I think about men and women. I don't want to, I think, what does your vagina look like? What does your penis look like? But I'd give Mikey Robbins a hand job just to see the girth, shape, size.
Can I tell you something? I've never told this to anyone before, but sometimes when I know someone and you know how like some that they're vague acquaintances and you think, oh, I think I like you. Like, I think we could be friends. I have a little mental test I apply.
Yeah.
I imagine their genitals. And if they're not, if I'm not repulsed, then I figure they can be my friend.
I'm amazed you're sitting in this room with us.
You know, like you meet someone at work or something, and you think, oh, I think I could be your friend. And then I just go, I could be your friend. Yeah.
That is bizarre.
Or if you think of, if you think of their genitals and you're horrified, then I can't be your friend.
I never think of people's genitals.
I thought,
people's
never genitals even imagine all the time.
What they look like.
Really? It's a really good acid test. You learn a lot about yourself when you imagine someone's cock.
Yeah. No, I'm into, like, I'm more into full body contact.
Oh, really?
Which is why I would love to have sex with Mikey Robbins.
Really?
Fat sex is awesomely fun.
Yeah.
Like when two fatties are just slapping at one another. Like it is, I know this is probably repulsive to a lot of people listening, but it is just.
No reason why it should be.
There are so many things to grab. Like everywhere you put your hand, there is a lump of flesh to knead and squeeze and push and.
I like big chaps. I'm married to a very thin chap, but I like big chaps.
Yeah, it is fun. It is like rolling around on, like you need a large bed.
Yes.
Or
exhibition buildings.
Yep. But yeah, I think it'll be fun. The only drawback would be Mikey's tendency to rabbit on about Mikey.
Yeah, comment on everything. He would comment on everything. There would be a line.
Oh, but that's on telly, but like off screen. Like, I love Mikey, but Mikey talks about Mikey a lot.
Right.
And yeah.
It's one of those.
Also, I don't want to upset Laura. She's lovely.
Fair enough.
But
fair
when
enough.
It comes to building like big ass forts out of mattresses, not just
yeah.
In Mikey's the Hamish Blake test, I think Mikey would.
Yeah,
you'd build the fort, and he would dive bomb it, and then root you like there was no tomorrow. And they'd be eating like you would be eating and fucking at the same time.
There'd be a lot of kind of chocolate syrup and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Or Peking duck.
Do you know what?
A I'm Peking sold. Duck fuck.
I'm sold. Sign me up. Peking ducks, push me over the edge. I'll do it.
All right. Yeah, I'm a little bit sold. I'll upgrade from a hand job to a head job.
Yeah. I would let Mikey Robbins fuck me with a souvlaki.
Great.
Garlic sauce.
I smell like a cab driver.
You want to do it in my butt? In my butt? Let's do it in the butt. Okay. Podcast.
Well, it's bottom whisperer time. Melinda Buddle is with us once again for Top or Bottom. And as we hurtle towards the royal wedding, April 29, we should probably get the download on the royal couple.
And can I just say, Toby, hands above the table.
Okay,
while we're
all right.
doing, because I know
Toby
how you feel
has
about...
quite a thing for the Windsor boys.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, Mel.
Yes.
Are you prepared for telling us who the top and the bottom is out of Prince William?
Mwah, if you're listening, Prince.
And his bride-to-be, Prince Harry.
Sure, yes.
Because you know the royals, they love a bit of incest.
Yes. But it's only half incest because they've got different dads.
Oh, don't. Not proven.
No.
Sure, let's top and bottom whisper a pair of brothers.
Yeah.
Yep. Sure, no worries.
They're descended from cousins.
Gosh. Well, this how it actually happened was an accident the first time.
That's what they all say.
That's what they all say.
Well, William is actually the top.
Right.
Out of these two. And it happened when he was just applying some sunscreen to Harry's freckles.
Many of them, though, there
fell
are.
In.
And fell in.
He just fell in, yeah. He just fell in. He was just greasing Harry up for polo and just, before you know he's in there. So, yeah, Harry is the princess.
Right.
On this one, and William, he's the prince. But, Harry is...
And you know Harry would be grumpy about it too.
Harry
he's such a sullen little bitch. All right, Will, it's fine. But I get to drive the coach next time.
Yeah. And Will's will be like, come on, we could do this for charity. Come on. Yes.
Why do they now sound like the Beatles?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't know.
But yeah, William is also, it just makes sense because William is older, bigger, stronger, and Harry is a redhead, which is the natural, you know, the weakness.
I apologise to our Fanta Pants listeners.
I'm not surprised.
No, yeah, that doesn't surprise me, that actually. Sounds
strange. I did used to have a huge Prince William thing.
You did?
Yeah.
But it's sort
is
of...
Is it because you're balding at the same rate?
I think that's what it is. I think I share his chromium pain. I think, oh, poor man, you're going to be King of England, but you have to wear a hat outside.
Yeah. Well, he can just wear his little crown, can't he?
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Just weigh down the bit of hair that he's got. Is Harry going to go bald? Because he's got a really thick thatch
of
ginger.
No, he's not going to go bald.
He's a hot ginger.
Can you say the words thick thatch thick of ginger thatch one of more ginger. Time, please?
I would love to see Harry's pubes.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you? Would you, Prince Harry?
Yeah, you would.
Oh, would I hit Prince Harry?
Yeah.
Totes.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It looked like he was going to be the ugly one, but Harry surpassed
William.
Harry's
wrong town. And he's nasty. I reckon he'd be a dirty root.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be ashamed of myself and feel terrible, and I would go back again and again.
Yeah.
He'd be one of those guys that would be drinking bourbon and smoking while he fucked you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'd spit in your mouth and call you bitch, you know?
He'd call your ass a man pussy.
Yeah. He'd be totally one of those guys who's on the phone to his girlfriend at the airport while he's fucking you.
Yeah.
I'll just be about 20 minutes. Had to pick up some smokes. Shut the fuck up. Be fucking amazing.
I love how our Bottom Whisperer segment has now morphed into our Would You segment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tick.
I'm sure everyone loves hearing you would all fuck Harry. That's really lovely.
Yeah. I think they're going to actually play this during the royal wedding, during the coverage on Channel 9.
Yeah, we're going to be hosting it.
Yeah.
Well, unerring instinct yet again, Mel. Yes. Thank you for service to your empire.
And thank you for giving me an excuse to think about getting fucked by Prince Harry.
Yeah.
And his thick ginger. Fudge.
You're all very welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm going to go off and buy myself a DVD copy of Yogi Bear, the movie.
I'm going to set my cock on fire in protest.
I'm going to stick a pencil down the eye of my penis and watch Yogi Bear.
Oh, dear. We are performing live in Melbourne in April for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. You can find the details at talkingpoofy.com.au.
My role is actually going to be played by Justin Timberlake.
Ah!
In that season, yeah.
We'll see you next time on the podcast.
It burns! Fucking burns! It smells like something heating up. Yeah, because I'm setting you on fucking fire, you piece of shit. You know what? I'm glad Brittany got back on her feet. She's better than you. She is better than you. I'm going to lock you in a fucking box.
All right, I'm going for a walk. I'm going to leave this to happen without
this
me.
I'm just fucking so angry. Why would you do that? Why do you need it?
I don't know.
Fuck you, Timberlake.
Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay.
Puffcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Puffcast.